Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
I'm too ambitious. Critics say my expectations are too grand. But if we cannot rise to this occasion, I think no one can. It's tough not pleasing everyone. I'm just a man. I do my job. If Sarah Palin shoots her mouth off one more time, so help me God. The corporate greed, the BP spill, and rising unemployment costs. Extremist right fanatics, immigration, where to put a mosque. And in between, I kiss Michelle and hang out with my daughters, too. I even walk the dog sometimes and clean up stinky doggy poo.
The hardest thing about his job is cleaning up the doggy. He needs a free roll and he's also picking up his doggy poo. He's got the best report of mom and yet he's scooping stinky doggy poo.
I hearken unto Lincoln and I still believe in compromise. I just require sanity and reason from the other side. So take my word and don't believe a single thing Fox News has said. I am the very model of a modern U.S. president.
So take his word and don't believe a single thing Fox News has said. He is the very model of a modern U.S. president.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees. Our business is people and their love for trees. He's a legendary, charismatic megafauna in his own mind. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Good planets are in the main. Right.
Well, I guess at some point I actually have to put the headsets on and say something. You know, I am happy today because that nonsense is over. And we're going to try not to talk politics, but I just have to say I am so grateful that I don't have to go home and sweat blood over this anymore.
And I didn't curl up in a little, you know, a little ball on my in my room with a teddy bear that night.
And the complete and utter rejection of the wackadoodle agenda is just very gratifying, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, I wasn't ready to cast my lot with the American people in terms of their sanity. And it turns out they're sane, although they're sane 51% of the people who vote are sane. Turns out 48 point something percent of the people in this country are not sane. That's not good percentage.
It's not good.
That's not a good percentage at all.
We need more education.
Oh, look what just came into the room. A frittata. Yay! Wait, hold on.
The bell.
It's frittata land here.
So you guys, the frittata is made from the eggs from the hens.
Oh, and if you in case you weren't listening last week, Sarah Batka, our master gardener coordinator, brought in eggs. Did you partake of the eggs?
I have not partaken in the eggs yet. I need to.
She brought in eggs for both, well, for a couple of us, and Lisa Albrecht, our energy expert. I've decided you are our alternative energy expert.
Oh, that's
good.
We've
been struggling with that. I like it. Perfect.
That is sleek. I like it.
AEE, alternative energy expert.
I'm going to change my business card.
That can go on a resume, lady.
Yeah. Woo. And I only get 5% on that when you use it.
That's fantastic.
And make a lot of money. But Lisa graciously gave up her eggs. that sounds bad. that came out wrong.
Yeah, don't go in politics. I was just going to say
it has to do with the election somehow.
I think that's illegal in some states, right? There were some referendums on that.
I believe it's in the Republican platform.
You would have lost the election if you would have said that, if you're running for any kind of office right there, buddy.
Stick with gardening.
Yikes.
Somebody can use them.
You guys, did we give a shout out to our veterans this morning?
We have
Let's
not.
Do it. Go.
Well, thank you, veterans, for all your service. Thank you for fighting to keep our country free and the freedoms that we enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm particularly proud of the number of family members that I have. My dad was career military, and I have cousins that have served and lost an uncle, and very proud of every one of them.
That's true. You were a military brat, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in the service for, I guess I can say 18 years. My dad retired at 21. I'm not sure that the military counts me that way because I was, five. But my entire, until I graduated high school, my dad was military.
Wow. And something I found out about you the other day is that, because of that, you went to like 80 different schools before you were 18, right?
13 before graduating high school.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah. Now, how do you survive that? That's what I want to know.
Kids are resilient. They think that their world is normal. You don't know what you have because that's all that you know. So that was normal to me. I thought it was weird when you stayed put in one place for a long time.
That's boring.
Yeah, so here we are, the 11th of November, Veterans Day. My father was a vet, fought in World War, WW2, as we say.
Nice.
What branch?
He was in the Army. He was a medic. Operated in the European theater. Had some great stories to tell, especially about the Battle of the Bulge, where he was involved in the evacuation of troops. Word got through to the Allies that the Germans were about to break through the lines, and he was part of the rescue effort to get the wounded out of that area. And he talks about schlepping.
Wow. They're all
the sick
heroes,
and wounded out of there.
The medics, really. The medics are going in when everyone else is leaving.
Like a lot of guys of his generation, he talked about he told interesting stories, but he never talked about what he saw on the field. Never. Not once. He did tell me one story about a guy. He was talking with a guy, visiting a guy in Europe, and they had a meeting. He had to go run an errand. He came back, and the building was bombed, and his friend was dead. It's just right place, right time kind of thing. So happy Veterans Day to all of our vets. Thank you for bringing that up, Sarah. That is today, the 11th of November. It's usually observed on this day. I'm noting here if this computer will load fast enough. No, it's not going to. It's just going to leave me hanging here. Okay, thank you. It's sending the request. Thank you. Okay, fine. Okay. Today's show, lots. As always, one of the cool things. Coolest programs in the environmental realm is Tree Keepers. And I am proud to say I'm Tree Keeper number 417 reporting for duty.
Get 'em.
Are you a tree keeper, Sarah?
No, not yet.
You've got to take the course.
I want to take the course.
You should. Yeah. Everybody should take the course.
I did not know about it. I'm really excited about today's program.
Citizens, and you get to ask Glenda Daniel from Open Lands about that and how do you get involved. There's a couple of courses per year. Here's the good thing. It used to be people say, well, is it in my community? And I'd say, well, it's really just Chicago. Guess what? They're expanding. Or at least that's the plan. The plan is to try to get out into other municipalities so everybody can be a tree keeper. And they're going to start. They're working on Evanston. There's a meeting on the 14th. And folks in Evanston are are welcome to come to the meeting. It's 7 to 9 p.m. at the Evanston Ecology Center, and we'll talk more about that in just a sec. Rick DeMille with Rick DeMille Weather. I was looking at the forecast. Do you know what tomorrow's going to be like?
Yeah.
Have you seen this?
Not like today.
No. Or yesterday.
Drastic.
No. You know,
drastic
see my little sports coat? This is all I wore to the station today. Not tomorrow. That's nasty. No. I mean, what?
That's one of the things about Chicago. When we have those 30-degree, 40-degree drops in less than 24 hours, it's rough. There's no easing into anything here. We jump from one to the next.
No. We don't ease into anything at all. That's not the way we do things here in Chicago. Rick DeMille will be here at 9:45. Second hour, the Chicago Wilderness Congress is this week on Thursday. And Sarah, I understand you have a ticket to that.
Yep, I'm already registered.
Good for you.
And I'm looking forward to the Leave No Child Inside track.
Right, which I've talked about on this show in the past. And Arnold Randall, who's the general superintendent for the Forest Preserve District of Cook County, is also the chair of Chicago, and he's going to be here in studio. I'm very excited. And my thanks to Lisa for setting this up and jumping through the hoops of fire to get this done.
Yeah, first contribution to the show.
Your first booking, let's put it that way. You've contributed to the show in many ways already.
There we go. Thank you.
So Arnold Randall will be here. And then, you know, I hope we get to a lot of things. I'm always happy to take your phone call, 773-763-9278, to talk to us about just about anything horticulture or environment related. Tweet us, at MikeNow. Is my handle. Write to us on Facebook. Sarah Batka is always typing away on Facebook and keeping us up to date.
Oh, no. Lisa's Facebook. I'm Twitter.
I'm sorry, what?
And so Lisa is Facebook. I'm Twitter.
Oh.
We have specialties now.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. See, I don't even know what my staff is doing,
Jenny. Your social media is right.
No. And I realized, oh, gosh, I went to a conference for the ASLA. On Friday, the American Society of Landscape Architects, and one of the sessions was on social media. And this is, much as it hurts me to say, I'm probably going to break down and get on Google Plus. Oh, it's just killing me.
As if you need one more thing to manage.
I know, but the guy was great. He do I have his card here? I think I do.
A Google Plus salesman?
No. Orbit Media Studios is, and the guy is...
Andy Crestedina?
Yes.
Okay.
How do you know
Sarah
Andy?
Sarah knows everyone.
Well... Okay, so it ties in with Inspiration Kitchens. They were part of the Chicago Cause program that donated a media makeover to Inspiration Kitchens.
And he consulted?
Yes, yep.
I want him to consult for this show. Can I afford him? I don't think so. But yeah, Andy was pretty amazing. And if you go to orbitmedia.com, it's all about marketing and media and how to do it right and how not to.
And they host a monthly, wine and.
I'm in.
Like a monthly program. It's open to the public. It's very affordable and they have like pizza and snacks and they'll present a little program. I'll see if I can find it.
Okay. And I do need to give him a plug because he seems to know his stuff. So,
he really
I mean,
does.
One of the things he said about Google Plus is that there's this thing where if you do it right and you go dun, 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 and you enter this and you enter that and boom, boom, boom. When people do a Google search, not only does your website pop up, but your picture next to it.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, okay, that's cool. I can deal with that. So anyway, Andy Crestedina, Principal Strategic Director for Orbit Media Studios. Again, the website orbitmedia.com. There's the plug. And see, he just got a media shout out.
Yeah.
Because
you learned that from him. He taught you that.
And you know, and it's old school media. What can I tell you? So there we go. And of course, podcasts available at MikeNovak.net. I will have this up. I usually have it up by the end of the day. Sometimes it takes me a day or two, but I do my best to get that up there. So if you miss the whole show, and of course, streaming live. You can find the link at MikeNovak.net, or you can go to ChicagosProgressiveTalk.com. All that being said, let us immediately go to the phone lines and bring in Glenda Daniel from Openlands. Glenda, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. I talked to you on Friday, and there you were, not talking to me, but busily getting out papers and setting up a PowerPoint and... That's your whole life, isn't it?
It seems like it sometimes. But one of the wonderful things about the job is being able to work with so many tree keeper volunteers.
Yeah.
So, we couldn't operate at Open Lands just on staff work. We really need all these volunteers.
And Open Lands, of course, is the organization. You can go to openlands.org. Is the organization that started Tree Keepers, and it's hard to believe it was more than 20 years ago.
Right, 21 now.
21, yeah. 2011 was the 20th anniversary, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And I am, as I mentioned earlier, Tree Keeper number 417.
All right.
Well, it's because you and Suzanne Malik McKenna, you know, who was for a while the... director of the Department of the Environment, dragged me into it and said, "You got to take this course. You'll enjoy this." And I did. It's a wonderful course, and I think everybody should take it. Now, Lisa Albrecht here in the studio was asking earlier how she can get involved. Let's go right there. How do you get involved with Tree Keepers, Glenda?
Well, first we have on our website a calendar. And there are tree keeper work days almost every weekend during the year. In the winter, we sometimes just take walks and do tree ID. But anybody can come and test out their interest by going to a work day. You don't have to be a tree keeper first. And then we have, in the city, we have spring and fall courses. So a 7-session course in the spring and another one in the fall that if you take all the classes and pass a pretty easy test and do some field testing, you get certified and get a number like yours, and then you the city of Chicago and the park district trust our tree keepers to mulch and prune and now plant trees on public lands in the city because they've been part of training them and they know how qualified they are.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, the test is not all that difficult. Even I passed it.
Pretty much everybody does. We don't set out to make people fail. We just want to make sure they remember what they've learned.
Mm-hmm. The reason, so Lisa, you live in the city, so you could take advantage of this. Go to the Tree Keeper website, which is, if you go to Open Lands, just look for Tree Keepers on the homepage, and it's pretty easy to track down, and you could sign up. But... what I found out the other week was that you guys are thinking of spreading this wonderful concept out to other municipalities, starting with Evanston this week.
That's right. We have, well, the Evanston, there are tree keepers who live in the suburbs who take the course in the city, and Evanston's really close to Chicago, of course, so a number of people who live in Evanston had already taken the tree keepers course, and they decided that they wanted to get more engaged in their own hometown, and so on their own, just being individual tree keepers, they had already contacted the city forester in Evanston and started and had done a work day or two already, and starting to develop that relationship, and they decided they maybe wanted to form a whole Evanston Tree Keepers group. And this just happened to coincide with Open Lands has been working with Morton Arboretum and other organizations in Chicago Wilderness to look at the urban forest on a regional scale. I mean, we're all connected. All the metropolitan areas really connected as an ecosystem or a set of ecosystems. And so we want to be able to all work together to promote trees in the whole region. And so OpenLands, part of that is we want to develop citizen advocacy groups all over the place. And so this Evanston group, we actually have a group in Oak Park already, which is more loosely organized, but they had a big project with OpenLands and Morton Arboretum to take acorns from trees, oak trees in the Frank Lloyd Wright Historical District, and grow those at Morton Arboretum for several years into young trees, and then replant them in Oak Park and then elsewhere with provenance, which historic tree it came from. So that is also a chapter, but they haven't, it's not as formal, I don't think, with regular meetings yet at the Evanston group.
And this is all part of a greater effort to spread the word of tree keepers and throughout the region, right?
Right. And we're not, this next spring, we're holding our first parallel tree keepers course at Morton Arboretum. We don't have the dates worked out yet, but Morton Arboretum has agreed to host Open Lands for a suburban tree keepers course out at the Arboretum. And then next, we'll probably look at the North Shore somewhere. We had thought about Ryerson Woods, and they were receptive, but now that this Evanston group's getting going, you know, maybe we'd look at a different location for a tree keeper's course closer to Evanston. We don't know yet.
Yeah, and so you've gotten this partnership on a regional basis, and I just think it's a wonderful opportunity to take that whole concept and get other people involved, because I do get asked all the time. I do garden talks, and folks say, hey, this tree keepers thing is a great idea. How do I get involved? Now, let's say that folks want to start a tree keeper chapter, and I imagine maybe you'll start having chapters. I don't know.
I think we will.
Yeah, that's great. So if they are interested in getting this for their community, who do they contact?
They should call me. They should either email me at gdaniel@openlands.org or 312-863-6255, and we'll figure out a way to do it. I mean, if people start a chapter, we want them to get some kind of training somewhere, so either to come into the city or Morton Arboretum to get some training, but simultaneously you can start to organize in your community and gather people together that are interested in trees. So we wouldn't necessarily wait for completion of a course. We would just make that a goal, because I think, people with like interests ought to be able to get together without so many barriers in the beginning.
Yeah. Give me that phone number again.
312-863-6255.
Okay. And I put the link to your email address on my website, mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show. All the information is up there about tree keepers and Glenda's link, so you can shoot her an email. The one thing I did forget to put there is a phone number, and I know that there are people who don't have computers. There are people who are not on email.
That's true. And some people's first response is to go to the phone, even if they do have email. So people have different habits. But, Mike, I want to say that you are always such a great advocate for programs like Tree Keepers, community gardening, all kinds of greening efforts that different organizations have in the region, and we need more people like you.
Well, you know what? I was thinking about this as I was doing this, because you guys have all these tree keeper events, and I don't always make them, and in fact, very seldom. But I figured that's my job as a tree keeper, is to spread the word about tree keepers. And so I want to think I'm the official tree keeper media representative here, at least from the membership side.
Absolutely.
And I also put a link to your webinar that you're having in December. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes, that's another another outreach effort with Morton Arboretum and a group that's based in Iowa but also works downstate in Illinois called Trees Forever. And the webinar is really aimed at municipal foresters, city foresters, who are often a little nervous about working with citizens. And this is to talk to them about how they can get more of their work done by working with informed citizens and overcoming that fear.
Of working with citizens?
Yes.
Well, because, you know, and I understand that because,
sure.
You know, the city foresters know their stuff. They're certified arborists, or at least they should be. And they're afraid that, you know, maybe they're not going to do it right. And guess what? The tree keepers learn how to do it right. And that's the whole point of it. Go into that and then talk about the webinar. And then we can talk just a little bit about what tree keepers learn in the course of 7 weeks.
The webinar, I'm not sitting in front of the information about the webinar right now, so you have that, but I believe it's December 5th, and I think that another issue for city foresters or public works directors or the different public officials who do this is, you know, you don't necessarily want know-it-all amateurs calling and taking up your time, so one of the things we'll, you know, work with volunteers on is, what is the most effective way to work with public agencies and to ask the public agencies for their ideas about what's the best way to forge a relationship? I think we have a really good relationship in Chicago with the Bureau of Forestry, Chicago Department of Transportation, and Chicago Park District because we've worked with them for years and they are among the pro bono faculty for tree keepers, but you can't be, you know, you want to be a watchdog, but you don't want to be, you know, down their throats all the time.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the flyer that I've linked to on my website, and among the questions you're going to try to answer is, what is the value of a community forest? What's the municipality's responsibility for trees? Are community trees public, private, or both? I think that's an excellent question.
Mm-hmm.
What are community challenges with respect to trees? How can you stretch funding for trees, their management, planting, and care? And where does advocacy come in? Who are the advocates? How do you build a strong support base for municipal staff and community forest? And the speakers are going to be Lydia Scott, Community Trees Program Manager for the Morton Arboretum, Barb Grabner-Kearns, Field Coordinator for Trees Forever out of Taylorsville, Illinois. You're going to be there, of course. And Emily Hansen, Community Forestry Outreach at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, Illinois. And that's on the 5th of December. It's a webinar. Is it free or is there a cost for this?
I think it's free. I should know that, shouldn't I?
People will find out. You know, it's okay.
The Forest Service, Jill Johnson from the Midwest, I'm not sure the actual title, but the Midwest region person for the U.S. Forest Service in Minneapolis is helping us organize this. She's very good. And this will go out to municipal foresters in a broader region, but we figure the biggest participation will be from the Chicago region and Illinois.
Yeah. And before I let you go, if you want to become a tree keeper, and again, you should go to openlands.org to check that out, and you can find that link at my website as well, mikenovak.net/thisweek. And in the 7 weeks, you know, it's 3 hours of your time on a Saturday morning for 7 weeks, and it includes learning about the biology, physiology, benefits of trees, a little bit of soil science, tree identification. You know, that's still one of my weak points, I have to admit, especially when the leaves aren't. I think it's everybody's weak point, don't you think, Glenda?
My weak point. And I've been through this a lot of times.
Mulching, pruning, and planting. When I took the course back in 99, back in 99, we were planting trees.
You're dating
yourself.
In the
old days.
Yeah,
in
the old days. In the other century. You know, it's hard to believe it's been 13 years since I took the tree keeper course. We planted a tree out at North Park Village there. Now, are you guys still doing that? Does the class get to plant a tree someplace?
The class always plants a tree, and Open Lands now has a much bigger planting program, and we're continuing to try to supplement public agency efforts to plant trees right now in the city, but that can spread because the public agency budgets are tight right now, and so we feel we can supplement that. So over this year, we will have planted 1,000 trees by next Arbor Day over the past year, and we want to keep up that big effort to expand our planting.
Mm. Okay. You know, and I can't think of a better way to do that than to bring in citizens, citizen experts, citizen arborists, I guess you could call them, in a sense.
There's just something about planting a tree. I mean, you still have to, we have to make sure we have arrangements in place to keep the trees watered and maintained for the future, but people just start to feel a real ownership and a real part in the future if they plant a tree. So it's very emotionally satisfying.
Yeah, it is. It is. Absolutely. So you going to sign up, Lisa? You ready to go?
I am. In fact, I think the part that I find the most exciting is I don't have to wait until the class. I can show up on any Saturday or Sunday. The calendar on the website makes it very, very simple for me to figure out how to do this and get involved.
And get to know some other people with similar passions.
Right.
And schlep mulch. It's always
there is that, and digging holes in the ground.
I know.
Getting my hands dirty. I love it.
It's not the fun part. The romantic part is the pruning. The nasty part is the digging holes and the schlepping mulch.
Although we just a couple of weekends ago we had our last tree planting of the fall. We planted 24 trees at the eastern edge of Washington Park, and one, it was a gorgeous day. It's a gorgeous park and a gorgeous part of the park. It has a lot of natural areas in it that Mariam Kawa, who's the natural area steward for that part of the park, has been involved in. And we planted a few trees that are more southern. They, you know, they're proven to grow here in the right circumstances. But we planted some sour gum trees, a few persimmon trees, things that are kind of a test for what happens when global warming, you know, is really more prominent here.
Interesting. Preparing for the future, eh?
Absolutely. And yeah. Nice fall color in those trees, too.
You know, and it's interesting. Yes, great fall color. In gums, there's just some great stuff, and the others. It's interesting because back in the day, it used to be, you don't want to plant, put a tree in outside of its zone because now you're dealing with trying to keep it going and it might not perform as well. Now we're preparing for the future and saying, well, looks like it's going to warm up. So, maybe you can get one that's a zone 6 tree or, you know, a zone 6B tree and bring it in here and see how it does.
Right. Nobody knows. It's a little experimental.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Well, Glenda Daniel, thank you so much for being with me. And the question I've been meaning to ask you is, how often do people put an S on the end of your last name?
Thank you for mentioning that. Everybody has problems with other people spelling their names wrong, but
you know,
that
I,
often happens.
I know, and you have an easy one. It's just Glenda Daniel, but, you know, mine's 5 little letters. Nobody ever gets it right, but I'm sure nobody ever gets yours right either.
I always say I'm singular, not plural.
There you are. Glenda Daniel from Open Lands, thank you so much. If folks are interested in finding out about Tree Keeper, well, especially if you're in Evanston, the meeting is this Wednesday, 7 to 9 p.m. At the Evanston Ecology Center at 2424 McCormick Boulevard. Wendy Pollack is one of the movers and shakers for that. You can get a hold of her at wendy.pollack, P-O-L-L-O-C-K, at gmail.com. Or just show up, I would guess, right?
Absolutely. I think they will be welcoming everyone who comes.
And I understand Jerry Edelman's going to be speaking there. Is that correct?
He is. That's Open Lands president and CEO. And he's thrilled that this is expanding into the region. I think he'll just be giving a little background on the broader Open Lands work and mission. And there will be Lynn Westfall from the Forest Service's Social Science Program will also be speaking. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, and I think that if a town was ripe for that, it would be Evanston. And you know, if you got Jerry Edelman showing up, it, in the words of Joe Biden, it's a BFD. So Don't tell Jerry I said that, okay?
All right.
All right, Glenda, always great talking to you. You have a great Sunday, okay?
You too. Thank
All right,
you.
Take care. Bye-bye. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. So now we just converted a bunch of people into tree keepers. Is that
Mr. Dan in Chicago wants to talk about trees.
Oh, okay. Let's bring Ann, did you say?
Dan.
Dan. Oh, sorry. Dan, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Not Ann. Yes.
talk about getting names wrong.
And the tree keeper thing, number 17, 417, that this summer we had planted about 12 years ago, we planted a flowering dogwood, and it grew up to be a big and tall and wonderful tree. And then I've been noticing for the last couple of years that it was getting these sort of clumps of shade and shadow on it. And I finally figured out that the grapevine that went up the grape ivy that goes up the house was going up the tree and just smothering it. So I girded up my courage to climb up on a big ladder, and it was like, I don't know, 6 hours up in the tree, just gradually going to each branch and unwinding the grape ivy. And I have to say, it was the best day of this summer and past summers to change your perspective of being up in the branches. It's just so beautiful. So I've got that on my list of things to do in the future, is be a tree keeper.
do you live in the city?
Yeah, I'm in the city, and I mean, we've got a nice yard, but to see it from the level of the trees, even a pretty low tree, fairly low tree, is transcendent. I mean, it's just so amazing. I guess the only time I've ever experienced was a kid with a tree house, and we used to play in it all the time. But to have that perspective of the life in the tree is worth the price of admission, I would think.
Now, I hope you practice safety going into the tree. I mean, I always talk about being safe when you're working on a tree and getting a certified arborist if you think you can't handle it.
I did. I had a fellow who lives in the building who was raised on a farm and does the real gardening, and he was watching the ladder from the bottom, and we were looking out for each other and helping, you know, from the top and the bottom. So it was very safe, and it was a very, very sturdy ladder. And I don't have much fear of heights if they're under 50 stories or so, but yeah,
you're kind of
safe. And also, I just wanted to give a shout out to Mike Sanders and Julia and the crew for having a permaculturist on their show, which was, you know, one of the saving graces. And this guy was amazing. He was also somebody who takes houses and, you know, people in foreclosure and saves them from the banks, takes them out of the clutches of the banks. So they're two real superheroes.
Wait, a permaculture? But
yeah, there was this
permaculture
on their show was involved with and it's permacult.org. And that was one of their things that they do. And another one was rescuing houses, people who are being foreclosed, like elderly and whatever.
It's great stuff. You're talking about W.C. Turk, who was on the show this morning.
Yeah.
And and I'm glad he's doing that work. You just confused me a little bit, because I think of permaculture as the idea of taking things from the earth and returning them to the earth and reusing and creating a community or a living situation where you do not use up resources that replenish them.
It was just the fact that the guy had it covered from both ends, and the practical urban living thing, and then also the source of permaculture, because I also think of permaculture as growing things the way they evolved in nature, where one level, you know, provided the shade and the nutrients stripped down, and they, you know, you have like the squash growing on the floor of a field, and the beanstalks winding up on the corn stalks, and
yes,
you just increase the output and the dry weight per acre a Mexican campesino in the traditional farming raised about three times the dry weight of food than the average mechanized Midwestern farm and chemicalized.
Dan here knows his stuff, doesn't he? Okay. I got to let you go, but let me ask you real quickly.
Fine, shout out that.
No, it's okay. What do you do for a living? What do you do for a living, Dan?
Well, I'm a writer. I do. I've done some consulting on, you know, educational and political causes and things like that too.
Okay. Well, always
open up my website again this soon. I used to publish a website called Time Out for Unity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dan, you're always welcome to call this show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I love the show.
Well, thank you so much. And you have a great Sunday, okay? And stay safe. Stay safe when you're in the trees, all right?
I will. I'll get trained one of these days.
Yes, sure. Yeah, you got to take that tree keeper course.
Definitely.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Nice. I like to hear that, folks. You know, I want people to be careful when they go up in the trees. You know what? Actually, I have a Care Trees commercial about that today. So stick around and you'll find out what that's like. Rick DeMaio weather is coming up.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Good frittata. Very nice. What do you got in there, Sarah?
So it's Yukon gold potatoes, some broccoli crowns, an onion, Colby Jack cheese, and a little bit of crushed red pepper.
For all you folks out there listening, I hope you're jealous. Even Rick DeMaio, who we'll get to in 60 seconds. Meanwhile, here's a tip from the Care of Trees. It's time to start thinking about winter pruning of your trees. Consistent pruning can ensure your trees continue to provide their aesthetic value and function. Proper, conscientious, expert pruning can enhance the beauty and function of your trees while reducing the chance that your tree will cause damage by losing limbs during a winter storm. When the leaves have dropped in the fall, it's easier to see the structure and architecture of your trees. And when summer annuals have, you know, that's a problem. You eat something, you get a little of that, the juice is good.
And then you want more.
And then, no, I'm saying I can't even read this stuff. I'm just, okay. Anyway, when the summer annuals have been removed, there's less risk of disrupting your landscape. If and when the soil freezes, equipment can often gain closer access, which can enhance their safety and reduce your costs. Winter pruning can also avoid encouraging serious diseases that are active and spread easily during the growing season. All of those reasons, all of those facts are why you should think about getting your trees pruned in the winter. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com, find them on Facebook, or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220, The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son, but be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those old honky-tonk monkey shines. Now you could study Shakespeare and be quite elite, and you could charm the critics and have nothing to eat. Just slip on a banana peel, the world's at your feet. Make them laugh, make them laugh, make them laugh.
Yes, and with that we bring in our meteorologist, Rick Zamayo.
How are you, Mike? How are you, Rick?
That intro had nothing to do with you, although you do make me laugh.
I'm glad that I make you laugh, Mike.
You do. Every week you say something that gets me here. So
I guess we can say that Tuesday, the guy from Kenya won again, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Those Kenyans, they make good presidents. I think we got to elect a few more of them.
Now the hard part is that we got to deliver, right?
Well, it's not my responsibility. I'm not the, he's the one making $400,000 a year and, getting his name in the history book. I'm just a poor schlub on the radio who's...
No. You have a pulpit. You have a microphone. You have 2 hours to talk to people and get them to do the things that, the people who we entrusted and the people that we voted into office.
So how do I get to make $400,000 a year? That's what I want to know.
No. you could do like Mitt Romney. You could put some of your money in offshore, bank accounts.
Oh, good.
That's what Mitt's doing right now. You always want to spend time with your family after some bad times. Maybe he's spending time with his money, right?
I think so. I think he's petting it and consoling his money, and his money is consoling him.
Yeah, but all kidding aside, I think we there's a platform now to push across the agenda that I think you and I have been talking about for a while here is addressing issues with the environment and address issues with climate change and the fact that we had Superstorm Sandy and this other storm called Athena, as the Weather Channel likes to call it.
Wait, wait a second. Thank you. What's that all about? Are they going to start naming just ordinary storms now?
No, not ordinary storms, extraordinary storms. And it's really silly, Mike. And a lot of people in the scientific community don't like it. A lot of people in the local forecast offices were actually told by the National Weather Service not to even address it as Athena, but it was something that I guess the people at the Weather Channel said, we want to start talking about, winter storms with a name, and, especially the ones that affect the Northeast, the ones that affect the Mid-Atlantic. And the most bizarre thing about it is that they got to do it, quite early in the winter storm season. The problem, though, is that it came right on the heels of Hurricane Sandy. So here you have all these people still cleaning up from Sandy, and, along comes Athena. And I think a lot of people, they're confused by it. They're like, what do you mean? There's another one, but we went backwards all the way to the letter A. Oh, no, this is a non-tropical. So to me, the fact that the Weather Channel, and I like the guys at the Weather Channel. I like Mike Seidel. I like Jim Cantor. I've spoken to them recently about this, and I go, no, we just have to make sure that everybody understands that it's a winter storm and it's a snowstorm. But the fact that it came right on the heels of Sandy, I think, confused a lot of people.
Yeah, I think it was really bad timing, and not just confused people, but I think it panicked a few people to have that, and then I saw Al Roker standing on, I think it was Long Island, someplace in the Northeast. Uh-huh. I don't remember. He goes, yeah. And now we just got hit with this nor'easter. I'm standing in 4 inches of snow. And I'm thinking, it's 4 inches of snow. Really, Al Roker, this is something that you want to get all excited about and call it, you know, and name it. I think it's bad. It's bad media. It's bad policy. It just unnecessarily riles up the folks who are already hurting.
Right. And it's too much media at that point. I don't think you need to name something just because you think it's a good idea. You have to do it because it's practical and it makes sense. And it's amazing, Mike. There are so many ironic things that have come about in the world of weather in the last 2 weeks, and this one just put the icing. I mean, this one put the cherry on top of the sundae, because not only was it a bad idea to begin with, but the fact that it happened right on the heels of Sandy made it even worse.
Yeah.
The timing
was everything. You know, you could roll that out, but they obviously made some sort of internal decision that
we made a commitment, right?
I made a commitment to it. And the fact that it came a week after Sandy didn't deter them a bit. And I think somebody should have sat down and said, you know, maybe this isn't the best time to do this.
Yeah. I think you're right about that, Mike. Just because you went along with the plan doesn't mean that you implement it right away. You go, you know what, maybe not right now. And those are the things that you don't write about on a policy, but you should have realized that. Because, there were some people, my brother in New Jersey, who had no power for 7 days and all of a sudden got hit with 6 inches of snow, and there were trees and power lines that came down again.
Wow.
And he went out without power for another 2 days, and he kept saying, he goes, I don't need to be calling this Athena. I really don't. And literally, it was like enough is enough. You don't need to be telling me about this. So I know you don't need to beat it to death here, on Chicago radio. But
but I'll tell you, I'm telling you, this is why we have Rick DeMaio on this program. You're not getting the inside media scoop about meteorology anywhere else, folks, except right here with Rick DeMaio.
Well, it's amazing too. As I was talking to my students, and one of the reasons why I love teaching is you really get a very, very virgin response to everything that has been going on. Very, very, very. This is the first time I've seen it. Wow, that's really something. When I show them, the Saturday Night Live, skit with Mayor Bloomberg and Governor Christie talking about the storm, and they were laughing, and I go, do you know who spoke at the RNC? Do you know who gave the keynote address at the Republican National Convention? It was Chris Christie. And they all looked at me and they went, really? Wow, that was kind of cool that him and Obama were actually, with their arms around each other, doing something good for the country. And I thought it was neat that they saw that. And then you hear people, like a Sean Hannity and a Rush Limbaugh and a Mark Levin saying, I think it was wrong for Chris Christie to be constantly, praising the president for doing something. And the students were like going, but that's what he's supposed to be doing. That's what government is supposed to do. And the fact that it probably did stall the campaign and did take away some momentum and did actually put Obama into the spotlight of being a president, I think really helped. You never want to say that you want a natural disaster to occur, but this was something that actually made things work in Obama's favor. He took advantage of it because that's what presidents do. Mm-hmm. Someone in my class said, he's flying all around on Air Force One. I go, you know why? Because he won the last time. He's allowed to do those certain things. So there was irony on top of irony on top of irony. And then you get the governor of New York, Governor Cuomo, who comes out and says, you know what? We really need to start addressing climate change. We really do. And I was like, thank you, thank you, thank you. Someone is finally talking about this.
And for me, Rick, I think that was everything right there. I mean, between Christie hugging the president and thanking him, Cuomo coming out and Bloomberg saying, hey, listen, this is something. I mean, finally put it on the agenda in a real way to remind the people who are on the fence, hey, wait a second. The other side is not addressing this at all. And now here we have a guy who's jumping in the way that he should. I mean, I know he was criticized for acting too soon. That's insanity.
That's crazy. And I think Christie's, you know, response on MSNBC the next day was, you know what? We don't need to go through any mumbo jumbo. Just get Cena in here. Let's get going and move along. And you know what? A week later, there were people still without power. Mike, I think it was the most amazing photograph when I saw people waiting in line, standing in line with those red gasoline, you know, tanks, waiting to get gas on Long Island, and it's snowing out.
Oh, my goodness.
And you're thinking, this isn't because of the snow. This is because of the hurricane. And an interesting thing about this nor'easter was the east side of this storm, over the Gulf Stream, the waters were still about 3 to 4 degrees above average, even after Sandy went through. Typically, after a large hurricane goes through, the water gets warmed, water gets cooled down, and that warm water actually gets mixed in with cooler water. That's not what happened. I was blown away by the fact that this storm was able to generate as much energy that it did and produce snow and still had water temperatures in the low to mid-70s. That tells you that not only the water is warm up on the top, but it's warm to a very deep layer. And that's one of the reasons why the Gulf Stream has been so active with storms along the East Coast. Even though we haven't had many, you know, move onshore, we've had two now between Sandy and obviously this nor'easter that produced all the snow.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, we need to get to the forecast because there's nasty stuff coming here. But I just want to say real quickly, I got a tweet here from Dave in Madison. He says, anyone with bank accounts on the East Coast or in East Coast banks will soon have offshore accounts. Whoa!
Where's the bell?
And he says, thank climate change. Okay. All right. Yeah. So what's this? What's happening tomorrow, Rick? This doesn't sound good.
I think the real story is, Mike, is what's going to happen tonight when the Bears are kicking off against the Texans at 7:30. We have a cold front stretching all the way from generally northern sections of Minnesota into the southern plains. So nice right now, rain about 6 o'clock. By this time tomorrow, we're going to have snow flurries and temperatures in the 30s. The high yesterday in Great Falls was 8 above. So last warm day today and then much cooler weather rise tonight. Rainfall about a half to about 3/4 inch, but it definitely looks like very, very chilly weather from Monday, Tuesday, Mike.
And then we're locked in.
No, you keep wanting me to say that we're locked in the winter. No, this is going to be a 3-day cool down, and then we'll probably get back to more moderate weather by the time we get to about Wednesday or Thursday. But definitely this is an early shot of winter.
Yay!
Something that we're used to in November, without a doubt.
Good. That means I can still get bulbs in the ground because I haven't planted them yet. So
yeah, you can get them. There's no worry about the ground freezing. It'll thaw out probably by the time we get to Thursday. No problem with that.
All right. Rick DeMille, thank you so much for your insight. As always, we will talk to you next week.
Take care, Mike.
You too. Arnold Randall from Chicago Wilderness coming up in the second hour. I hope you stick around for that.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business's people and their love for trees. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
I know my task was to bring in, get some stones into the musical bumps. That was a request from Sarah Batka.
It was a special request.
And I'm going to do that. This week, I got about 4 hours of sleep last night, okay? It was, I'm doing theater, you know.
Oh, and I didn't say, I went to the show.
Oh, really?
I went to the show.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Really?
It is a tough subject. It's heavy, but wow, Mike is great. The show is great. The cast is great. The set, everything. I absolutely had a great time Friday night.
All right. Thank you.
Broken Glass over at Red Twist Theater. There's still a week left.
Right. We have a matinee today at 3 and then 4 shows next week.
It was amazing.
If you're wanting to know what the man looks like behind the microphone,
I'd look a little different on stage, right?
Just a little makeup.
Just a little hair. Right. No, I don't use any makeup at all.
Well, and your stature is different.
Yes.
You're a bit aloof.
I'm actually serious.
You're aloof.
Unlike I am on this show.
But, you know, I will say I have gone to, you know, a couple Steppenwolf things and some other things. And I tell you, this is not amateur stuff. You guys were fantastic.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed the show.
Give yourself a ding. Nice.
Okay.
I can't believe I didn't talk about it in the first hour.
No, it's okay. It's all right. It's all right. Yes, we'll get some Rolling Stones.
Thank you.
In here. I'm working on it. As soon as the show's over, the play is over, then I can move
settle
on to
down.
That. Coming, we've got, you know, it's amazing. In the last month, I want to say, we've had so many interesting conferences in the Chicago
so much
area.
Going on.
We had the Bioneers. We've got, I went to a, we've had three Green Towns,
mm-hmm.
One here in this area, but one in Valparaiso and also in Toledo.
It was the Starved Rock Rally.
Starved Rock Rally. Yeah, but I'm
which is a little bit different than
yeah,
the workshop.
Yeah, it's a rally. Yeah. And so I'm glad you said that, because on my website, I got a note from Cindy Skrukrud, with the Illinois Sierra Club, and she alerted me to a link that Illinois chapter of the Sierra Club has up on their site. It's a take action page that allows people to send an email to Barb Lieberhoff rather at the Illinois EPA about the proposed frack sand mine and its discharge into Starved Rock State Park. And that link is up on my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. And you can also write her directly if you don't want to send a link or go via the Illinois Sierra Club. You can write Barb Lieberhoff directly at the Illinois EPA Division of Water Pollution Control, and I have that address there too. So, and if anybody is listening and wants that address for some reason can't get to my website, you can shoot me an email and I'll send it to you, or I would say just go to my website, MikeNovak.net/this week, it's there. And the idea is that they want there's something called the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, or NPDES for short. People refer to it the NPDES. And the permit would allow Mississippi Sand LLC to discharge wastewater from their sand mine into Horseshoe Creek, which runs into Starved Rock State Park. But the idea is to get the EPA, make Mississippi Sand obtain an individual NPDES permit instead of a general one. So, you know, it's the idea is slow down the juggernaut. Slow it down until the state can take a look at it and realize this is a really, really bad idea. But the other thing I'm finding out, because I've now gotten on the mailing list of a lot of the folks who live out that way in LaSalle County, and they're telling me that more and more these sand mines are beginning to show up. I got a message the other day about another sand mine proposed north of I-80 at Utica, located north of Pioneer Seed Company and Hickory Hollow Campground. You know, and these things are now, it's if the whole county of LaSalle is going to turn into one big sand mine. You know, it sets a tone, it sets a precedent. And so that's what a lot of folks are concerned about that out that way. Yes, that's the area, the place where the sand is right for. It's fracking sand, you know, it's some of the best fracking sand. Now, fracking is it's another issue altogether. And Lisa, you and I have talked about that. We're going to have a discussion about that on this show, which we haven't had yet. I would advise you to go to my website and take a look at the link to the Illinois chapter of the Sierra Club and write to the EPA and say, hey, make them get an individual permit, which will allow for a public hearing. So that folks can weigh in on this.
That's all we want, is just to have a say in it.
Exactly.
Which
because,
so far.
Because, you know, the company would rather you didn't. That it moved very quickly. I mean, the whole thing started over the holidays when people were not paying attention. So, I wanted to get that in. All right. I'm very pleased to have Arnold
Arnold Randall in the studio, who is the chair of Chicago Wilderness, but more important, and he even knows how to turn on his own microphone. I'm impressed. You've done this before.
She just told me how to do it.
Oh, Lisa sort of
gave him a little tutorial.
Yes.
So if you need to cough, you just go, and you just turn that thing off. See, everybody, they've got their own. Of course, I can turn off any of your mics here anytime I want.
Well, you do have supreme power over there.
Yes, I do.
And we know.
I am a generalissimo supremo here. Arnold is also the general superintendent for the Forest Preserve District of Cook County, the man of many hats.
Yes, I am.
And I would say that being chair of Chicago Wilderness is a pretty big deal as it is, let alone being the general superintendent. So you're a busy guy, aren't you?
I am. And thanks for having me here this morning. And I am a busy guy. running the Forest Preserves here in Cook County is a major undertaking, but I'm, you know, very excited about it. But
And we will get to that.
Yes.
I think, you know, the task at hand is to talk about the Chicago Wilderness Congress.
Absolutely.
And once we get out of that way, then we can get into Forest Preserve issues. But you'd be happy to know that the woman on your left has already signed up. She's got her ticket.
I heard that.
And her registration.
I was listening to your show earlier.
I'm really looking forward to it.
It's going to be fun.
And a number of great issues are going to be discussed, some of which I've already talked on my show in the past, including Leave No Child Inside. You've got a greening infrastructure track. And the other thing is that the things like 8-8 or 9-8 at 7-P, you're just cramming a lot of stuff into one day. And for folks who are interested, it's going to be at the Forum.
UIC Forum.
Yeah, UIC Forum at the University of Illinois at Chicago, 725 West Roosevelt Road. Can people sign up day of?
They can. I would recommend that you do it before then because there's an additional fee for signing up the day of, but you can walk in and still do it. But you can do it online right now if you want to at the chicagowilderness.org website.
You see, and then they warned me that you had to do it early. But that's okay. That's what conferences do. They want you to They need to know, too.
They need to know how many people are coming.
You
know? Absolutely.
It's so difficult to do that.
Well, plus the track looks incredibly detailed, and so I can imagine that the logistics behind this are pretty involved. I mean, you pick one of five, is that correct?
Major
curriculums.
Tracks. That's right. And
do you have to stick in that, or can you float from track to track?
I'm sure people will be floating from track to track. But, obviously, if you're interested in a specific area, like Leave No Child Inside, then you may want to stick with that the whole day.
In fact, Sarah, that's the one that you're kind of interested in, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's a great initiative, Leave No Child Inside.
You know, so this is a big deal. Chicago Wilderness has four major initiatives. Leave No Child Inside is one of them. And in Chicago and any major metropolitan area, what we found is that their young people in particular are just not engaged in nature. And I'm a lifelong Chicagoan. And when I came into the role as general superintendent of Forest Preserves, I recognized in talking to people who live in the city like me just had no sort of contact or understanding in general about nature, and that really extends to young people as well. So this has been a focus for Chicago Wilderness for a number of years. We recognize that there's a quality of life issue for young people and for families who are not, engaged in nature. And frankly, there's whole generations of folks are missing the boat on this. And these are future environmentalists and people who would be supporters of what, nature is about and protecting our nature, but they're not engaged. They don't know what's going on. And so this is a major focus for Chicago Wilderness. And Chicago Wilderness, if you don't know, is 260 different organizations.
Hey, I was going to bring that up because I'm sure people hear the phrase Chicago Wilderness and they go,
What is that? Right.
Yeah.
So it's 260 different organizations. There are landholders like the Forest Preserve districts, but all the local ones in the county areas around us. But it's also the Department of Natural Resources. It's Audubon Society. It's Open Lands. Any environmental group that you can think of is probably a member of Chicago Wilderness.
Well, and not just organizations, those organizations, environmental organizations, but when you have 260 different organizations, you have a lot of different people involved. And as a matter of fact, I wanted to, go to the members because you've got associations and clubs.
Yep.
You've got coalitions.
That's
like
right.
you know, the Barrington Area Conservation Trust, the Northwest Indiana Forum Foundation, the Waukegan Harbor Citizens Advisory Group.
Right.
And the idea that it spreads over several states, and then conservation organizations, which you would expect, like Audubon and Bird Conservation Network and the Conservation Foundation and on and on. But then you also have the corporate
yes.
end of things.
And so you have folks who are in that world who do work in the environmental world, but you also have, you know,
ComEd
is
part of that, Nicor Gas.
That's right.
But yeah, and then alongside people like WRD Environmental and PISO and Associates.
That's correct.
And then county organizations. I know we're making a lot of this, but just to give you a sense of the spread of Chicago wilderness, DuPage County Stormwater Management Division, Lake County Forest Preserves, McHenry County Conservation District. Then you have cultural
yes.
and educational organizations like College of DuPage, the Field Museum, Lake Forest College, the Morton Arboretum. University of Illinois at Chicago. And then it goes on there. Faith-based groups,
yes.
Faith in Place, which is a wonderful organization mm-hmm. that I've worked with on this show, and they do terrific stuff. They their winter farmers markets are about to start. Foundations, friends groups, wow, municipalities, park districts.
Covers the whole gamut. I mean,
yeah.
and that what that says is that, you know, our environment obviously impacts everybody. And these organizations recognize that they have a role to play, whether it's what they do all the time or if it's some part of their mission. And so when this started back in 1996, there were 34 organizations, and it's grown to over 260 in the 15, 16 years now that we've been around. So it's been pretty impressive to watch the growth.
It is. Yeah. It has been. And you guys continue to grow. So with that in mind, you decide to have a Congress. Now, tell me, is this an annual event or
yes.
less than that?
Yeah, it's an annual event. This is actually every 2 years we do Congress.
Okay.
So it's not every year.
Biannual.
Right. Sure. And this is a chance for us to get all those folks together, but really open it up to the larger public. And again, the larger mission, and we're talking about not just Chicago, it says Chicago Wilderness, but it's really Northwest Indiana, the Chicago region, and up into Wisconsin as well. Because,
yeah.
you know, watersheds and you know, the environment don't really know political boundaries. So this is really about what makes sense for the region. And so we're all connected, and we have a lot of folks from all those different areas. And it's a chance to focus on our environment, quality of life issues for people, protecting our lands and water. How do you get people better connected? And that is a huge issue. You would think, it seems like more people are aware of their environment now, but they're less connected in some ways because of technology, and they sort of gotten away from it. So it's a chance to really get out there firsthand, listen to ways to get involved. There's a lot of opportunity to discuss and meet speakers and really network with other people who are in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be a pretty exciting time for people. We have a wonderful keynote speaker who's from Los Angeles. His name is Juan Martinez, and he's the Director of Leadership Development for Children and Nature Network. And it spearheads this Natural Leaders Network. And so Juan does, he's a younger professional, has done a lot of work with inner city youth out in Los Angeles and really connected them to nature out in Los Angeles. And he's really sort of this Pied Piper of young people and getting them into nature. And so we're excited to have him be a speaker for us on Thursday at the, he's our keynote speaker actually.
Mm-hmm. So. And it's interesting that you go to the Leave No Child Inside and the whole idea that and even me, you know, I grew up in the suburbs
mm-hmm.
of Detroit. And
did my wife, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where?
All the names sound the same to me, so I can't tell you. I just know the suburbs of Detroit. And she'll
I'm going to call your wife.
No, she's listening. She'll
give me
the business.
Call in 773-763-9278. Tell me which suburb you are. Wherever in
right.
the Detroit area. But the point being that even in my generation, I wasn't particularly connected to nature, except mm-hmm. that my parents opened the door at 8 a.m., let us out, and
right.
and then you come home and the streetlights go on.
That's right.
But that being said, we managed to discover nature in the suburban setting before everything got paved over. We talked about this several weeks ago. I forget in what context, about how at that time you could find a pond and tadpoles.
That's correct.
And frogs and not fish so much there, but in my neck mm-hmm. of the woods. But just the nature, you know, I can remember going down the block and an empty lot, and then you just dig.
Right.
You know, I was always digging for dinosaur bones in my neighborhood.
Did you ever find any?
No. I did not.
Right.
Not in Madison Heights, Michigan. You were not going to find dinosaur bones in Madison Heights, Michigan. I think it's gotten worse.
What's happened is that we've had, you know, just massive expansion and subdivisions and more and more people. You know, the population growth in this country continues to grow. More and more people move to urban and suburban areas. So that growth has continued, even if it's slowed a little bit in recent years. But there's a clear trend there. And so things that used to be open fields are now subdivisions or, you know, strip malls or whatever. Mm. And this makes this more important, this work that we're doing to protect nature and to get people engaged, because they're not going to experience it. And if they don't experience it, then they're less likely to want to protect it. They mm-hmm. don't understand the value of it.
And you see some people working on that in the city. I think particularly of Michael Howard.
Yeah, Eden Place.
In Eden Place mm-hmm. on the south side at Fuller Park.
Right.
And what a wonderful idea he had. It was a toxic dump. Basically,
right.
he just got sick of, I mean, figuratively, of watching the guys come at night and dump.
Fly dump, right?
Yeah. Across the street. And he said, this is going to stop.
That's
and
right.
not only is it going to stop, we're going to transform this space. And not just to a garden, but to a natural area in an urban area.
That's correct. And it's phenomenal if you haven't been there. It sounds like you have been there. But yeah, you've got this place in the middle of the city in the Bronzeville community, Fuller Park. And he's created a space where it's not just a garden, which are wonderful, but it's a space where people come and work and learn. There's programming that happens there. The day that I visited him this summer, it was full of kids in classes. It was also full of people working and volunteering. And he's got grand plans for expansion of it. And so that type of thing where those kids would not otherwise experience nature, they're experiencing it with Michael Howard.
And that's sort of the idea with Leave No Child Inside, I would assume. The other thing I'm going to get to, one of the tracks is greening infrastructure. And you kind of start with the Millennium Reserve in the Calumet Core. That's an interesting development and a program, you know, finally people are beginning to recognize that that area has unique attributes that need to be preserved and restored. You know, it has been degraded to a great extent. And it's interesting that no sooner did we have the announcement that the state is going to be putting millions of dollars into this and try to develop the Calumet Core. And the Millennium Reserve in itself is a huge swath.
It's a huge section of the south side of the Chicago south suburbs. So it's much bigger than even the Calumet Core.
Right. Yeah. The Calumet Core is where you kind of where they're going to start and then spread out.
Right.
But no sooner did the money was there an announcement that there was money, but the pressure got put on right away. Oh, we're going to build a gun shooting range there.
Right.
You know, and I know it's controversial, and I know you're a political guy. I don't want to get you too involved.
No,
but the point I'm making is the pressure seems always on there. It's not one of those areas that people are, except for the folks who live down there,
mm-hmm.
It's not one of those areas that you look at and say, oh, this is wonderful. We need to preserve this. It's like it seems to be the place that everybody wants to dump something and to put their garbage and put their waste and put their coal plants. And it's about time that we rescued it, I think.
Right. Well, it's been a work in progress for many years. And I'm a South Sider and used to drive through that area with, you know, even as a kid with my parents, and the smell was horrible. And so there's been improvement over time. And there are people out there like Vic Crivello who've been fighting this fight. Marion Burns, who's deceased now, have been fighting this fight for decades. And you're finally seeing some positive attention. You know, Governor Quinn, to his credit, you know, even as lieutenant governor, was very interested in this area and brought some attention to it. And I think that's the genesis of this larger designation. But there's a lot that's been happening. Forest Preserve, we've been buying property out there. We recently acquired property, you know, from from waste management. So, you know, there's a lot, and you're right. The ecology
that says something though when you're getting your property from waste management.
That's right. Yeah, that says what the use was, and yeah. I agree. But part of the mission is here to acquire it and get it back into a natural state that is going to support, you know, the ecology and the wildlife down there. And so it's improving. I think it's great that we have additional focus from the state, and it gives it, you know, some real goals to strive for. And, you know, we're owners down there. The Park District's owners down there. The MWRD, Metropolitan Water Reclamation District, are owners down there. So there are a lot of owners who want to see things happen down there. And we, frankly, are investing money to make it happen.
We're talking to Arnold Randall, who's chair of Chicago Wilderness and also general superintendent for the Forest Preserve District of Cook County. Ladies, if you've got anything, I mean, I would tell people that you should go to the website, ChicagoWilderness.org, if you want to see what the Congress has to offer. I don't, because I want to kind of segue over to the forest preserves.
Right. But I would just say that, you know, if you can get there on Thursday, it's it looks like it is an action packed, just, I think you will be mentally exhausted by the end of the day, because the level of speakers that they have attracted, no wonder this thing is every 2 years, because I cannot imagine what it must take to attract. I mean, they have some of the best speakers list that I've seen, and just a wealth of knowledge across multi-disciplines to really get folks educated and aware. And I believe, too, Arnold, that there will be kids involved in the event, too?
Yes, so there are young people. There's, you know, several programs that are kid-focused. And on Friday, actually, our keynote speaker, Juan Martinez, will be coming out to the Forest Preserves, actually, to work with some of our teens and our teen programs.
So some hands-on time.
Hands-on time. We want to learn from him. We want to learn what he's doing out in Los Angeles that can be replicated here in Chicago.
What I'd like to mention is that the Wilderness program offers a registration for students and young people who have graduated within 3 years. It's incredibly affordable. For only $20, you can attend the entire day. And what's even better is that they're going to pair young people with a mentor in your specific discipline. So pre-register, it's only $20. It includes breakfast, lunch, access to all of the sessions, and then they're going to pair you with a mentor.
That's correct.
Right. And then
which
I think
is fantastic.
Yeah.
That is a great idea.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point. Thank you for raising
that.
So
it's accessible to everyone.
It is. Yeah, and this is sort of God's work here. This is really important that we make these connections for young people.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. And again, you can find all that information on my website. You can go to MikeNovak.net/thisweek. All the links are there, including the links to the various tracks that you can attend. But you can also go to ChicagoWilderness.org and find the information there. Let's move to the Forest Preserve District of Cook County. I would say that things have changed in the past couple of years.
We like to think so.
It sure looks that way, you know. You know, you've done some in terms of those changes. You've done a desk audit, resulting in HR improvements.
Well, it's more than that. Yeah, I mean, the desk audit really was a comprehensive look at the whole organization, and so HR, human resources.
Why don't you explain what a desk audit is?
It's just really a self assessment of your organization, looking at how you operate, including how you hire people in historically in Cook County that wasn't done the right way.
Is it about Cook County anyway?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to say I'm encouraged in the last couple of years. It just seems like, you know, you guys, like the adults entered the room finally.
Yeah, I've heard that phrase used before, and I agree. And, you know, it starts at the top, Mike. It starts with Tony Preckwinkle. And so Tony is the county board president, but just as important to me, or more important to me, she's the president of the Forest Preserve Board, which is a separate board. Made up of a lot of the same commissioners, but it has its own separate meetings and separate business. And so Tony asked myself and Mary Lariah, Deputy General Superintendent, to come on board almost 2 years ago. Now we're in December 15th is when we took office, and said, look, you've got to clean this up. Here's what my expectations are. You know, this is about good government. This is about cleaning up government, transparency, showing what you're really doing, and talking to people. And so my experience before coming to the Forest Preserves, I did work in government, both in the planning department for the city and the Park District for a number of years in Chicago, but also was at the University of Chicago more recently in the Office of Civic Engagement. So working with the public is a big part of what my expectation is, and for this organization. So we're doing that. And so the desk audit was 113 recommendations of things that we needed to fix, some big, some small. And we've been working through that. We actually post our findings. We do quarterly updates on how we're doing with those the results of fixing those things. And there's, you know, a lot of work. But, you know, things as basic as giving evaluations to employees had not happened, at least in the last 20 years. That's fascinating. But how do you...
It is fascinating and terrifying.
And terrifying at the same time. How do you know if you're doing a good job if you never have a formal review with your supervisor? And how does the employee know? How does the supervisor, you know, give good direction if they're not doing those kind of things? So things like that that are really basic to, you know, changing our technology. You know, when I walked in my office for the first time, there was no computer and there was a pager sitting on a desk. So that wasn't enough to run a forest preserve district.
Wow.
And I'm not making it up. That's what it was. And so that was sort of, that was representative of the type of mentality we had about
And Al Gore had come in and changed all the keys on the typewriters too,
right? Yeah. Now you see I have an iPad now, so that's, I'm obviously using technology.
I noticed that. Yeah. You get your little cheat iPad
there. I do. Yeah. I need that.
No, that's okay. Yeah. That's fine. Among other good things, land acquisition is actually happening.
A lot of it is. We actually just went earlier this year. We refinanced some of our bonds, some of our debt, and we actually issued some new bonds without raising taxes. But $27 million of that money that we got through bonds is going through for land acquisition. And we just closed on some property a few weeks ago, about a month ago, in Orland, 160 acres adjacent.
Right, Orland Grassland South.
South, right. Yeah, so we own close to 1,000 there already, and we picked up another 160 acres.
And I've talked about this before, Benjamin Cox is a friend of mine, mm-hmm. Friends of the Forest Preserves. I love having him on the show because he just hammers it, you know. And those were dark days when under the old regime, and just the degradation of the forest preserves seemed to continue unabated. Yeah. And now it's turning the Titanic around because there's so much that needs to be done. I mean, ecological restoration is high on the list, and the estimate is that 80% of the 68,000 acres are in desperate need of ecological restoration.
There's a lot that needs to be done. The good news is there's a lot of work going on, and some of it is our own money, our own staff. We have a staff that does that type of work. We also have contractors to do the work, and we also have hundreds and hundreds of volunteers like Benjamin Cox and others who come out every day of the year and do restoration work for us, and we work with them to accomplish that, and that's everything.
But you know, you can't put it all on the volunteers.
No, we can't.
You know, it's one of those things. It's got to be a top-down kind of thing.
It does. And you know, increasing, and then Benjamin and I and others, are having regular conversations about how to exponentially increase that. Now, we have increased in a significant way what we've done in the last couple of years, and we've spent more money. We've actually been more productive with our own staff. We've increased the number of staff who actually do that type of work. And we still think there's ways to continue to grow that use or that function within the district. But, 68,000 acres is nothing to sneeze at. It's 11% of the county footprint. It's big.
But the point is also that 68,000 acres is a lot. We could use more. We have to get those acres because they're becoming more and more fragmented. And now is the time to do it before they're gone forever.
We agree, and this is a great market to buy. And we've been aggressive.
That's true. I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, with the depressed economy,
we've been very aggressive about it. We redid our land acquisition plan, which hadn't been done since 1994. So we've got a set of priorities and how we evaluate land. We have a list, which I can't share because we don't want to drive up the cost when we buy them. But so we're looking all around the county.
You can tell me after the show.
I'll tell you afterwards. Yeah, off the mic. But the reality is that we have a list, and we're aggressively going after properties right now. And we, as I said, we're putting $27 million in addition to what we already had set aside for land acquisition into land acquisition.
There is some controversy about how the forest preserves will be used. Mm-hmm. You know, because the idea of those preserves is to keep the natural state, and yet I know that there are multi-uses. Picnics, of course, are a big deal.
Yeah.
But the intrusion of other things, perhaps like, zip lines, paintball, that sort of thing has – Yeah, some ecologists' knickers in a twist.
Sure. Well, we're not doing paintball. I can tell you that. Zip lines, you know, yet to be determined. We're in the process of doing a recreation master plan. And this is a conversation that's been going on for the almost 100 years the Forest Reserve has been in place. You know, if you go back and look at our archives, and you can do that online, at UIC has our archives, you can see that there's been discussion about this, about what's appropriate recreation and what's not appropriate recreation for the almost 100 years we've been in existence. Our position is we don't want to be a park district. That's not our role. It's not in our mission. But recreation is part of our mission. And finding appropriate recreation that is compatible with the lands that we hold are important. So obviously people do things like canoe and hike and bike and kayak and, you know, cross-country ski and all those kind of things all the time. We wanted to look at, are those enough? Can we do other things? And the whole point on the recreation piece is to get new users in some cases for the first time, or get people to come back because they just are not participating at the level that we think they should. And frankly, if we don't have enough people participating, you don't have enough advocates, and frankly, your lands become endangered if you don't have enough people advocating for you.
Well, that is a good point. You want people to participate. And again, like I said, it's attention
right
there, and you have to have the right balance.
Right. So we recognize, and you know, Benjamin and others, we have regular conversations, and the process has been very public. So when you have public planning processes, everything gets thrown on the wall and you see what sticks and what makes sense. And we feel confident that when we come back with a final plan in the first quarter of next year, that it'll be reflective of the things that people are comfortable with.
That's Arnold Randall wearing the general superintendent hat.
Yes.
Right now for the Forest Preserve District of Cook County. We've got some phone calls, so leave those
okay
headsets on. Let us go to line two and bring in Benjamin. This wouldn't be Benjamin Cox, would it?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you? He is the executive director of Friends of the Forest Preserves. Always great to have you on the show, Benjamin.
Yeah, I just wanted to call and give a little credit where credit's due to the superintendent and President Preckwinkle, and make sure that, you know, Friends isn't depicted as just the organization that hammers, even though I appreciate that, you saying that about us. But we do also try and help, and we've really tried to help them and make sure that they're pointed in the right direction. We think things are going well, and we're trying to keep it focused and make sure that, you know, as you were just talking about recreation, and, you know, we want to make sure it doesn't get too sideways, and I think we're going to get there because this administration is really good to work with.
Thank you, Benjamin.
Did you just say an administration was good to work with?
We were out for two late-night meetings just recently with the superintendent where we were really working through some pretty sticky issues that could either, myself and Justin Pepper from Audubon, things could really go sideways if we don't get on top of it and make sure that it's handled the right way. And the superintendent, you know, was there, and, you know, at one point he had to run out because he had to pick up his three-year-old, and I get that. I've got two kids, but, you know, he was sure to meet with us just a couple of days later.
Yeah.
So
I appreciate you being understanding.
And I'm sorry if I gave the impression that the Friends of the Forest Preserves is an adversarial group, because they're not.
They're not at all. To give credit to Benjamin, they very much want to, they're focused on the ultimate goal of, you know, enhancing these lands, getting them back to where they need to be, and making sure that people appreciate them and use them. And so we're both on the same page here. That's why I'm confident we'll be able to work together.
Mike, it's key for us to be that group when we need to be. But, you know, as a friends group, we also really try to be the best friend. So the best friend is the guy that's going to pull you in tight and tell you when you're doing good things, and then give you that kick in the rear when you're doing things not great.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but just for your own best interest, you know. And we just changed our mission to include the word promote, which is promote the use, promote recreation, promote the importance of the forest preserves. And I think that's a key reflection for us. Before it was preserve, protect, restore, and now we dropped the preserve and added promote because we figured we do like the Forest Preserve. We agree, and we do want to get more people out there who are using them and loving them and understanding them.
Well, I've got you on the line there, Benjamin. Don't you have some initiatives coming up that you want to promote?
some initiatives?
No? Okay.
I mean, we've got some various events and things coming up. I'm not sure exactly which one you're talking about.
You know, I'm not sure I am either.
Oh, all right, good.
I think
we're working on right now is that we're working with on some committees with the Forest Preserve. It's really great to sit at the table with them on the Recreation Master Plan, Campground Master Plan, and also we've just recently participated in some centennial planning, which is really exciting. The 100-year anniversary, or it's going to be anniversaries because there were a lot of significant dates 100 years ago for the Forest Preserve, is coming up, and we're excited to set a new standard, a new direction, and to ensure that the Forest Preserves, or help set them with the Forest Preserve, but for the Forest Preserves for the next 100 years, because, you know, our old board chair used to say on a regular basis, you know, once you save it, you have to continue to save it or it'll be gone, and we firmly believe that, too. People start to take these things for granted if you're not careful.
Yeah, and that's what I meant. That's what I was talking about, Benjamin. There we go. All right, listen, always a pleasure to talk to you. You're going to be on the show soon, and we'll go into some of this further.
I'll call in when Benjamin's on.
Yeah, do that.
That sounds great. Talk to you later. Have a great Sunday, Benjamin.
Bye-bye.
773-763-9278. Before I get to Chris in Palatine, Arnold, Benjamin brought up a great thing, which is the 100-year anniversary.
Yes. So we're really excited. This is, you know, a once-in-a-100-year opportunity, obviously, by definition. So there are three kind of key dates, 1913, 14, and 15, where things happened. 1915 was the date that our Forest Preserve commissioners met for the first time. So that's kind of the major date. But the others, two other things as well that we want to recognize. But we want to have a three-year sort of ramp up in recognizing the Forest Preserves. And we want to really do some projects that roll out, you know. So Benjamin referenced the campground master plan. You know, we want to build out some campgrounds and we see camping as a major way for people, urban folks, to get involved in the Forest Preserves. And frankly, they're not going to drive to Michigan, Wisconsin, or even Starved Rock to go camping, but they might come to the Forest Preserves. We make it accessible for them. We're going to create programs around that. We're going to have some special events, obviously, and some celebrations. But we want to have a plan that sort of looks out for the next 100 years and sort of a larger focus on what we want to be in 100 years.
Yeah, because this was the very first Forest Preserve district in the world?
The country.
At least.
And it's the largest still.
And that took the kind of vision we don't see anymore, really. And it would be nice if you could, you know, approach that and look at it in those terms. And I'm sure you're trying to do that.
We are going to do that. And that's why we're having focus groups that include, you know, our key stakeholders and friends groups to really think about what that looks like as we get there.
Let's go to the phones. And Chris in Palatine, you're on the phone with Arnold Randall from the Forest Preserve District of Cook County. Good morning.
Good morning. I can't believe we're going from 60 down to 20, so oh well. I love Chicago.
Don't remind me.
Yeah. Yes. Temperature. He's talking temperature.
Okay.
You know, Mr. Randall, I happen to live across the street from the Deer Grove West Forest Preserve, so
yes.
I'm in there, you know, almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one question. You have a section of it that has been taken over by the federal government that you've got a chain fence around and totally locked up. Is that ever going to be accessible to us?
You know, I'm trying to think of what space that you're referring to. I know that we out there, that's one of our major sites where we have a lot of volunteer work. What is it? If you give me a little more detail,
I think if you're at all familiar with the old paved road that I think was the original access road to Deer Grove West, and now it's just a paved bike path, a walking path, and when you go across that little stream that you have there, you have a section that has been basically taken over, I think, from the EPA, and it goes all the way back from that section up through. You know, up by where the toboggan slides are,
mm-hmm.
or where we're, and that whole area has been like chain fenced off for about 10 or 12 years.
You know, I'll be glad to take a look at that. I don't know that the federal government has a role in that. There may be some work that needs to happen there.
I talked to one of your superintendents that said that actually the EPA or anyway the federal government has taken it over and now it's not even under the jurisdiction of the Forest Preserve.
Oh, okay. Well, if you want to give me a call and give my office a call, I'd be glad to look into it further.
Okay. And the other thing is that coming up, you know, and I certainly see the people out there every other week, you know, in Deer Grove West.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's like almost like trying to empty the ocean with a teaspoon, with all of the buckthorn and things. I just want to know if you had any plans at all to really, you know, get a major crew in there, you know, and you know, clear out all that crap.
Well, it is a major undertaking. That's an area actually we have a lot of different things going on. So we have the volunteers who are doing work up there, which we're appreciative of, but we also have contractors that are doing work as well as our own staff. But I, you know, the reality is that this work will take decades to do for the district. This is an ongoing process. It's not going to be, it didn't get that way overnight, and it's certainly not going to end overnight either. But this is area that, you know, Benjamin Cox would tell you if he's still on the line, that we need to do more, and we are focused on how to do more.
Yeah. Speaking of Benjamin Cox, he just texted me.
Okay.
All right. I'm just surrounded by media here. And I think this is for you, Chris. He says, not feds, ecological protection. And then the second text is mountain bikes.
Yeah, well, I know. And I know that they've gone in there and they've done some real major damage. And I know what you do, but it'd be nice to be able to have access to the, you know, if you want to protect it, then you're going to just block up the whole, you know, forest.
Right. Well, we can take a look at that. I think, you know, there are areas, just to be clear, there are areas in the forest preserve that are very sensitive ecologically, and we don't encourage the public to. In fact, we have some restrictions on the public access because you would do more damage. Just even walking through, you do more damage than good. And in 68,000 acres, there are going to be spaces that we are more protective of and that we try to limit public access to. That may be one of them. I can certainly look further into it.
Yeah, well, I would appreciate that. And then the other thing is, you know, you're out there cutting down ash trees now.
Yes.
You know, while you're cutting down the ash tree, why not cut down some of the buckthorn that's right in front of it?
Yeah. So as you probably know, you know, emerald ash borer has done significant damage in this part of the country and come over from Michigan. And so we are actively cutting down ash trees.
Are you cutting down healthy or ones that have been infested?
Ones that are infested. Mm-hmm. The reality is, though, this whole area is infested, and it's a matter of time, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean,
it's unfortunate, but this is what's
happening. We're going to lose a bunch of ash trees in this area.
So the ones that we are cutting down are the ones where the public frequents, so along pathways, parking lots, areas where if they fell, would be a problem. Yeah. So the other ones are falling on their own.
Chris, thank you so much
for your contribution.
Have a great day.
You too.
I just got a text, and by the way, we're talking to Arnold Randall from, he's the chair of Chicago Wilderness. We already had that conversation.
Yes.
We're into Forest Preserve District of Cook County. He's the general superintendent. This is an interesting tweet. Would like to ask Mr. Randall about the current deer die-off.
Mm.
It seems to be massive out here in the Northwest suburbs.
That's correct. We had, and I'm looking up the actual term for what it is because it's a very specific scientific term, but we had a number of things come together this summer that caused a large number of deer die-off, and it really had to do with a very mild winter last winter and then the very hot summer following it. And so you had a disease that is normally you find further south in the southern tip of Illinois or in Kentucky or places like that that impacts deer that we found here in the Midwest. And it was all the way from Iowa and a band that sort of ran from west to east across Illinois, and we were part of that. And we had a lot of deer that would die off through this this disease. And, you know, we tried to obviously clear them out as quickly as possible. But it's done now because we've had the temperatures have cooled. And so the mite or the bug that transmitted the disease to deer dies off when it gets to a certain temperature. So it's ended.
Is it likely to reoccur next year?
It depends on the conditions again.
Yeah.
Right. And so our ecologists and biologists were looking at that, and we were aware of it. We actually had some things posted on our website that can give you the specific details on what it is and how it spreads. And the reality is we have far more deer than, frankly, that we'd like to have. This was a reflection of really different sort of climate issues, which, frankly, with climate change, this could be an issue in the future. We don't know.
So great question from my friends at the Seed Keeper Company. Very last question. We're going to go to Dave in Madison, Wisconsin. Always a pleasure to have you on, Dave.
Hey, thanks, Mike. You need 3 hours for your show.
I know
it's really
I do.
True.
Yeah.
You really do. It's a great show. And I just wanted to mention, I went down to Chicago, down in Bridgeview area a few weeks ago, and dropped my daughter and friend off at the soccer tournament, and went over to the preserve, which I had never been to. Is it on Austin Avenue?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, I was so impressed. It really had the changes. I grew up in Homewood. I've been going to the forest preserves all my life. Conkey Woods and, you know, all of them down there, Plum, Thorn Creek.
Yes.
And, you know, there was a lot of deterioration, and it was, you know, quite sad. And so the change that I've seen is just fantastic, and I just wanted to relay that to you.
I really appreciate that. There's a lot of people working really hard to improve what the preserves are, and that was happening before this administration took over, but we're certainly continuing that and trying to do more. But that's what it's about, is making it accessible to the public, that you have good experiences, that you feel safe, that you want to come there with your family, that you want to volunteer, that you want to protect these, you know, these resources that are... You know, they are endangered, and frankly, as the region continues to grow with population, these become more and more important to protect.
Well, and I, you know, one other thing, and this is related to your other role with Chicago Wilderness. You know, the thing I miss the most is the magazine.
Yes.
I loved the Chicago.
You know, a lot
Wilderness.
Of people ask me about that. They write and they say, "What happened to the magazine? Why can't we?" And I assumed it's just an economics.
It was definitely an economic issue. They, you know, I think at the time the organization had to make some very tough choices, and they just frankly were not able to afford to maintain it. But that was including Tony Preikwinkle, my boss, said that's the thing that they love most about Chicago Wilderness, and it gave them great exposure to people. So we've been trying to figure out how do you replicate something like that.
So
well,
maybe
at least replicating the very explicit site descriptions that
yes.
you'd have in there. I think that those, you know, I just devoured that magazine, mm-hmm. and it gave you places to go, how to get there, how to enjoy it. So
it was a fabulous magazine, and they did a profile on me, and that's another reason I think that.
Oh, well, we have that framed, Mike.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Dave.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for calling. I got to let you go, but we have to have more conversations like this, and obviously you can tell that my listeners are very concerned about this
and knowledgeable.
Yeah. So let's do it again. I want to thank you so much, Arnold Randall, General Superintendent for the Forest Preserve District of Cook County, also Chair of Chicago Wilderness. The Congress is this Thursday at UIC. Dennis?
I was going to say, his wife did call in, and just to let you know, you're not in the doghouse. We talked
you.
It over. Garden City.
Garden City.
Garden City, okay. There we go.
That's right.
Not particularly close to Madison Heights.
On the side.
Garden City, Michigan. A shout out to Garden City, Michigan. All right, and don't be a stranger. Come on.
I'd love to have you on again. Thank you.
All right. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. You want to give your gardening friends something a little different for the holidays? Well, how about some inspiration courtesy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine? The magazine is just packed with inspiration, from stories about great gardeners to tips about that perfect plant that you've been desperately seeking, to a little bit of know-how that somehow has eluded you until now. For instance, there's a story about a woman who is not just a landscape architect. I'm also proud to say that she's my friend. Terry Gouin of Terry Gouin Design Associates oversaw the installation of plants at Millennium Park, from the pear trees near the bean to the prairie smoke in the Lurie Garden and everything else in between. And you can read about how she did it and what other projects she has. Then there's my inspired skewering of your favorite holiday songs, which are already playing on another not-to-be-named radio station in town. If you hate them in early November, just think how much you'll enjoy the way I pummel them. You're going to love that. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over town. This Christmas, get a subscription for a friend. This is literally the gift that gives all year long. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697.
Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Remember when Dan, not Ann, called in the first hour and talked about climbing his tree and removing the vines? That's good. All well and good. But did you know that tree care is a more dangerous job than police work or firefighting? That's what a study by the University of South Dakota shows. And every year, homeowners are injured or killed trying to do their own tree work. You should think twice before performing tree work of any kind, especially if it involves climbing, work from a ladder to prune a tree, and certainly attempting to cut down a tree. The problem is that in this economy, you're going to be tempted to do it yourself to save a couple of bucks. But the Care of Trees is fully insured to cover workers' compensation, property damage, and personal liability in case of accidents. Are you? Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com, visit them on Facebook, or call 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. Oh. That's what we call a delay on the Insta start. Actually, that wasn't the one I was going to play, but...
This one jams, buddy.
Yeah, fog hat. I can't tell you how... You know, I was like Wayne and Garth in the 70s with fog hat. Open the car window. Hey, we're tooling down Woodward Avenue in downtown Detroit. I'm a fool for this city. I am. I'm a city guy. There's no getting around it. We got a couple of minutes here. I wanted to get a word out about a few things. Lisa, you wanted to plug the Solarbration.
Yes. On November 29th, Illinois Solar Energy Association is having a fundraising event. Go to illinoisolar.org to get signed up for that. It's going to be a great, it's going to be a fun time. Our executive director, Mark Berger is retiring, and it's going to be his official send-off. We're going to have a little roast and raise some money. We've got some great silent auction items.
And you, are you one of the roasters?
I'm so uncomfortable about this. I am neither sarcastic.
Send Denny.
Nor,
Denny would be good.
Who is it? I'll roast him. I don't even know who it is.
Yeah, that's right. Mark Berger.
You know what? I'm telling you, you get a hold of Denny, he'll write your material for you.
I mean, we got some good ones with Berger already. I mean, come on. I mean, I can think of like four right now.
All right.
I'll take them.
We'll talk.
Good.
And I did also want to mention that I got my free-range turkey from Irvin Shelley's. So if you have not gotten your turkey yet,
Irvin Shelley's, what
fresh,
a great outfit. And they've been on the show
it's
before.
It's grass-fed,
yeah.
And it's healthy, organic. It's not grown in a CAFO. I'm excited about my first free-range turkey this year.
And I love Irvin Shelley's because they deliver. You can get fresh produce. And unlike a CSA, you can order. You can pick from a column. It's not just whatever's available that
right
week.
Right into their website, and you tell them how big a bird you want and what day you'll be there to get it.
Gobble.
I want to plug the thing again that we talked about last week with the Glacier Oaks Nursery in Harvard, featuring living Christmas trees. And the reason I want to is 25% of each evergreen sold goes to support the Land Conservancy of McHenry County. So help Mary T. McClellan out there. And you want a live tree, and then you can plant it in your yard. They'll tell you how to do it. They'll, you know, give you the instruction sheet. And all that's on my website, MikeNovak.net/thisweek. I still, America Recycles Day is this Thursday.
Yes.
There we go. I didn't do anything on it on the show, but it just continues to be ridiculously complex. It should be easy.
It doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be, but we don't make it easy, especially in the city of Chicago, and that's another issue altogether. And finally, send me photos of your volunteer junipers if they're growing in your yard, if they seeded, you know. I've still got that up there. I got to get that on
I love the
Facebook.
Picture.
I don't, you know. And take action on Starved Rock State Park. I've still got that up on the website, too. Send a letter. So to Barb Lieberoff at Illinois EPA. That's it. Until next week, go green or
go home.